You probably want to hear that.
You're saying that was eating you up?
Well, yeah, because I knew, I can't explain it. I knew it wasn't a natural life. I wouldn't say unnatural. Mm-hmm. But it was always, it didn't so much I was boarding out. I didn't even have a decent room, but it wasn't their fault, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a... I felt like, where am I going? I didn't worry about it. It was maybe eating me up. I don't know. I wouldn't say eating me up. That's kind of drastic.
It bothered you?
It bothered me because since the war, which it was like 4 years, four or five, 3.5 years, you know, the war ended in August. And I left Lancaster in September 1948, and I had an argument. I wonder if I didn't have an argument, what would have happened. Mm-hmm. I lived in my, you know, you can live, you can fight with a husband, you can fight with a sister if you live with them, you can argue with a roommate, mm-hmm. whatever, it depends on what you're arguing about. And they were wonderful to me. In fact, they were like, I was part of the family. In fact, they didn't have to treat me like a guest, which I didn't want to. I remember once that we used to wash together and stuff like that, and I remember when I was living in Lancaster, working in their restaurant, I had to work I went to work at 3 and worked till 12 maybe, and I probably knew how to drive, but I didn't know how to drive. Let me put it that way. I didn't have confidence in myself. Mm-hmm. So my cousin had to take me to work, and by the time you get so hot and sticky, but you take a shower and you put on a nice white uniform, you feel fresh as the days you go out, you know, mm-hmm. and so that, you know, that's my excuse. And And I noticed that she'd wash separately and she wouldn't wash mine. And this is what things looked to me. Mm-hmm. I won't say that I was wrong. I won't say I was 100% right, because we have never discussed it any further after that time. Mm-hmm. But then we got sort of picking at each other. And one time I said, I won't swear, but I did. I said, that's it. And we had an argument. We had a fight. In fact, we had a fight. Should I say that in the book?
Well,
we had a fight. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. And she kicked me out. Mm-hmm. I was ready to go, and I guess, but she kicked me out. She kind of forced it. Mm-hmm. She kicked me out. But she didn't say, leave the house right this minute, you know. Mm-hmm. But that scared the life out of me, because I didn't have much money in my pocket. This was a Labor Day weekend, and I was expecting a paycheck Tuesday, Monday. I couldn't have had to go to work Monday because I didn't go to work. But what to do? I needed help desperately. And they didn't have much. I couldn't say, hey, can you give me $50? Where do you go? Mm-hmm. Where do you go? So I have an ex-mother. I have a mother-in-law. She, at that time, she was never, I don't know, I got to know her real well, since 1974, in fact, she left me some money. Mm-hmm. And she left my son and everybody, you know. But that time I was, even when my husband went to jail, she never helped me, mm-hmm. by asking me if I needed help. However, I was desperate. I had no one, I had no girlfriends. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm going to go over to their house. That was even in Lancaster. So I sometimes I wonder if it was my idea or my cousin Evelyn, who is related to my ex-mother-in-law. Because her mother and my ex-mother-in-law were cousins. Mm-hmm. Second cousins, maybe, but there's a relation there. So, however I decided to call her, after all, she was my son's grandmother. And one time many years ago, it isn't that I was never in touch with her, but ever since I started to live with my cousin, she never quite approved of them, because she said, Evelyn was such a beautiful girl and she spoiled her life by, she could have married anybody, but here she marries a poor Gentile fellow. Mm-hmm. Oh, they were happy, they're very much in love, and as far as I hear, they're still together. Mm-hmm. So I sort of lost touch, and I'm very independent, you know. I could be starving, which a lot of times I needed, I wouldn't ask her. But I called her. I had no, I just was against the wall. And I called her, and I told her, I said, Evelyn, I had a, thank God, they always traveled. Thank God they were home. And I called her, and I said, Elsie, I says, Evelyn and I had a fight, and she kicked me out. And I said, you know, I have no place to go. I said, I was crying, I guess, and I said, I don't know what to do. And she said, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know. And she says, well, I'll find your place. She says, you come on, you come down here. So I guess I had to call her back because I did ask my cousin and her husband, I said, would you please take me to Los Angeles? Well, that's quite a way. Yeah, of course they would. They were heartless people. Mm-hmm. And so I made arrangements with my to meet Elsie. I don't know, maybe she gave us an address, I don't know, but she might have given us an address to go to, not hers, because it seemed like I remember, got out of the car, and I just left, I got out of the car, and Elsie was waiting for me in front of a certain old house, and Evelyn, Jack, and the kids took off. I got my little suitcase, whatever I had in Allen. Elsie had done, she and her husband, they had looked up two places for me to stay. Like room and board, and there was a great big old house at Raymond Avenue in Los Angeles, off Adams, and it had two old rooms, two bedrooms together, and nice, and then the bathroom was right off, right next to it, and the landlady had her room there, the hall, upstairs, it was a very big old house, it must have been a mansion years ago. She had room and boarders, all elderly, and it was $25 a week for room and board. But Elsie, so we says, well, we'll see. Then Elsie had another place for me to look at. Was on Slauson somewhere, not far, but you had a ride. And it was a garage was converted into a lovely room, long room, and had a little stove, you know. And you have to go, like, he would be the door of that room, and maybe near that window you cross over to the backyard and go into the landlady's house. And the bathroom was right off. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, it was $15 a week, you do your own cooking. It was pretty. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, to you how stupid you can be sometimes. Not practical. You say, oh, it's pretty, it's nice, it's newish, and I lived in old places, you know, and well, $15 a week, that's okay. And I asked the landlady if she would, what about babysitting? She, you know, she said, oh yeah, she said, every hour after school, I'll charge 50 cents an hour until you get home. So that didn't sound so bad. Mm-hmm. And that first week, though, I had a fight. I had a black eye. Mm-hmm. See,
that's why. When you say fight, you meant.
We didn't kill each other, but she pulled my hair. And she hit me. I hit her, but I don't know if she had a black eye, but I had a black eye. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't find it. And Elsie gave me $40. And I told Evelyn Jack to contact my boss, ex-boss, and tell him I'm not coming back and send me my paycheck, which they did about a week or so. And Elsie gave me $40 to pay. But anyway, so I told Elsie I'll take this room, $15 a week, and do my own cooking. But I couldn't find I said, I can't look for a job, not with this eye. So I remember that week, Alan and I would take walks, and I bought a few groceries. I probably didn't know how to cook, not much anyway. And we did a lot of walking, and I also did a lot of thinking. I decided at the end of the week, I can't remember how much I thought I might make, but somehow I didn't think it was very practical to live there. That I didn't know yet about working and coming home and all that, but I was thinking, yeah, come on, I might be tired, and it's a little gas stove, you know, it is like, they probably had a little ice bar, it's very small. Somehow, this is what I thought anyway. All this, by the end of the week, I didn't think it was practical for me to stay there. I thought it'd be a lot better if I lived in a place where I paid $25 for room and board, not to worry about the cooking, the time, and cooking. There's a lot of stuff you have to buy, and I had more time for myself, more time for Alan, and so I'd share a bathroom, and then I didn't even have to, wouldn't even have to pay for a room, the babysitting. They had a big, big, lovely yard there, and she said, "I'm not going to sit there and watch." Well, what I did is I called Lorraine. That was her name, the landlady from the old house. Mm-hmm. And before I decided definitely, I called her and I asked her, I said, if I lived, moved there with a boy, I says, would you charge for babysitting? She said, oh no, she said, and I'm home most of the day. In fact, I'm home all the time, especially in the afternoon when he'd be getting out of school. She said, I have to start preparing. She had older people there, and she had to cook and clean and all that. She didn't have any maid. She said, no, I'm home. All I can say is that as long as he stays in the yard or in front of the house, you know, I'll be here. So then I said, well, I might decide if you still have those rooms available. I might decide to come. She said, yeah, I'll wait a little while. So I called up Elsie, and I said, Elsie, I don't think it's very practical for me, so I'd like to move back. So if we got my few things, because I only paid by the week, you know, so I moved back there, and whether it was a Saturday, a Monday, a Sunday, I don't remember. But by the time my eye was pretty clear up, so I went back, I got moved in. And the very next day, I went downtown Los Angeles, and I got a job sewing.
Mm-hmm. So you went back to work in another...
I went sewing.
Being an operator.
I was, yeah.
Now, what was the pay like about that time? Do you remember?
Well, they paid you by the hour, by the piece.
That was peaceful.
It was peaceful, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I didn't make that much money. I had to pay $25 a week. Sometimes I made around 40-ish,
mm-hmm.
sometimes a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't slow, but I don't know, some people made a fortune, and I didn't make that much. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Did you, when you were living there and in this warehouse, okay, were your hours day hours
mm-hmm.
that you worked at the
mm-hmm.
uh-huh. So how did you get to and from
the bus?
The bus.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Was it a large factory?
No, it wasn't. It was one floor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no. Well, you know, it was a nice size, but it wasn't a corporation, far from it, just one floor.
Mm-hmm.
How many feet, I would know.
Mm-hmm. Was it mainly women?
It was women's maternity wear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so were the operators mostly women, or?
Yes, they were all women.
Mm-hmm.
And that, they were all women.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you work there?
Well, I worked there, until about 55, because we moved to Buena Park in 1955. We bought a house. See, I got married when I was working there,
mm-hmm.
on my way, and that was Buena Park, which was quite far from downtown. And for a while, I didn't work in that building. The company, things got bad, and they moved to another building. Things really went apart. So for a short while, I found a woman in the next street. She and her husband would drive down to Los Angeles, and that's how I got to work. So I would say I worked there. I started to work in September 1948. So that's the year's almost over,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't tell you what month I stopped working in 55.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been maybe 56. Because I moved to Buena Park in October 55, so I could have been not too long, because it was, I don't know how long I would have stayed there, but they moved to another factory. Things were terrible, awful. So I quit.
Now, so, it's interesting you're saying that you got married. Did your social life change after you'd moved in?
Oh, yeah.
In what way?
Well, I didn't date a lot, you know. I didn't have, it's not that easy to meet fellows. But I don't know, I met a few people at work. And I can't think of it. Didn't sound very nice, so. I met a girlfriend, in fact, she lived in Sun City. We always say she and I were poor together. In fact, she married a guy that's kind of rich, wealthy, let me put it that way. And I don't know, we used to date. She used to like to go to bars. I didn't, because maybe I was a prude, but I didn't care much for drinking. I didn't know how to drink. I probably still don't. But I don't know. We met a couple of fellows. We date. And I was going with this fellow for a while. I can't remember how I met him. Maybe I met him through her. We had a couple of parties. You go to a party. One time I was downstairs where I worked, there was a drugstore. One time I was sitting beside, a guy came, we started talking, got acquainted with him, and a nice young guy came over, and when he was in town, and he was very nice, never even tried anything. In fact, he'd come home and visit there. You know, you couldn't bring guys up into your room. And they had a big parlor, but people felt uncomfortable. And they'd come over and talk to me. And the one time when we really had a date, I kind of liked him, too. But I really never had a chance to really be alone with him. I really liked him a lot. And so one time he had time to stay in town, and he picked me up. We were going to go to the movies and go. He said he was staying someplace downtown off Broadway or someplace, I don't know. And we were going to go to a show, Tweed, and to a show. And so I guess he had a car. No, we didn't have a car. We went on a bus, a streetcar. And he said, I have to get something out of his room, you know. So we get there, and he says, want to come in? I said, no. I said, I just feel that he's going to get something when there's no reason for me to go in there. You know, now I'd probably go in the hallway and say, oh, yeah, I'll wait here, or even in the room and wait, you know. But I said, oh, no. I said, I'll just wait on the porch, you know. It was one of those old houses also. And he, this is important to me because it shows how stupid I was sometimes. And then, so he kind of seemed like, gee, why not? I said, I'm not mad. I said, well, I can't see why I should go and say. So he went in, so he came out. I don't know whether he came out with. Then we went to a movie. Oh, yeah, I can't remember. We went into the movie, and I can't remember whether before or after. And he's always, you know, I'm a little short. He says, I wonder if you could loan me some money until he gets his pay or something like that. And I was a little surprised. Who asked me to loan any of their money? But and I never didn't have much money, but I said, well, the only thing I can spare was $10. He says, oh, that'll be fine. Don't worry about it. But I really trusted him. I was surprised that he asked me, but I didn't. There's no doubt in my mind that he was going to pay me back. However, because he always acted like a gentleman. The only thing that at in front of us, I was like, maybe he kind of wanted me to go in. I'm not sure. I think now. Well, we went to the movies. I was so, I don't know the name of the movie now. Because during the intermission, he said, oh, I'll be right back. Fine. I never saw him again.
Oh, my God.
So that kind of hit me. I said, what a sucker. I tried to be a little more wary. I don't know how. And he worked for Seattle something. I even tried to call and find out about him. And I once, I don't know his name right now, and once I couldn't remember, I knew his first name, I guess the last name he gave me the wrong name, but I described him, and somebody mentioned so-and-so, I said, oh yeah, that's his last name, I guess, and I mean, sounds like it must be him, so I told him the story, I said, well, he owes me $10, and I said, he kind of led me on in a way, not led me on, but I said, anyhow, I heard he was married and stuff like that, you know, what a sucker I was. But $10 was like $100 to me also. And I don't know, I didn't meet a lot of fellas, but I met fellas. In fact, I met my husband through, because of that rooming house. So that's why I met my husband.
Now, how did that happen?
I moved out. I moved out maybe a year or 2 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. Because they were getting a couple of young fellas, but my landlady and her husband were drunks. They didn't drink every minute, but when they drank, they had fights. They lived upstairs where I did, and they had so many fights where they really hit each other, and some of the people downstairs would call the police. I never called the police. I didn't have to. And there was this very old man, Tom, a very old man, and he loved brandy. They say he used to get his check and buy brandy. And one time he came up there, and he tried to, you know, help, stay away, Paul, don't hit her. And Paul pushed him down the stairs, you know. And, you know, as time went on, and she'd have him arrested, then she'd get him out the next day, you know. The police were there many times. And not right away. And it didn't happen every week. I don't mean that. It happened too often. So I started to think about moving. So I did move out. But I was in touch with Lorraine, the landlady. And after I moved out, I got a call from her one day, and not right away, but she said that, it might have been months later, it wasn't right away. She said, you know, would you like to meet a young fellow? This was a Sunday, I had my hair done, I had a turban around my head, you know, that's why I used to wrap my head here. And she said, you know, there's a young fellow here that hasn't been here very long. He seems so lonesome, and would you like to meet him? I said, yeah, I wouldn't mind, but you know, not tonight. She said, well, we were just going to go for a ride. She says, we can stop by. And I said, well, I want to stop by. I said, you know, I have my hair done. She said, well, we're going to take a ride. We can just stop by and have. Well, you know, they did stop by, and then I didn't stop seeing him. That was how we started in. So after I moved out, I met him. He moved in there. He came down from Oregon. He was divorced a few years already. Maybe, I don't know how many years. He was divorced after the war. Mm-hmm. 46 or 47 might have been. And so he came down here. He was transferred to, he used to work for Tidewater Oil. It became Phillips. You probably used to see Tidewater Oil with that eagle, it seemed like. And was Phillips. So he was transferred. He worked up there. And he was transferred to Vernon. And he had a friend, and they boarded together. And I can't remember why they moved. They separated. I don't know why they went their separate ways. They were friends, but they just didn't want to live in that same place. So I guess through an ad in the paper, he found their boarding house. He stayed in one of the rooms that I had lived in. Because when he moved in, there was another fellow in the other room. So I met him. So life is strange, because if I never went back, I picked the other place, right? Then I decided to go back to the old house, and that if it wasn't for that place, I wouldn't have met my husband. Would it have been better? Would it have been worse? I'll never know. Mm-hmm. Life is strange. So you go out looking for fellows, or you want to get married, but it could sometimes be in front of you. You don't know it.
Mm-hmm. What was his name?
Johnny.
Mm-hmm. And he... Was he about your same age? Or?
Well, he was younger. He was 61 when he died this January. He was 61 December 28th.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be 65 next week.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. It didn't matter.
Uh-huh. So he was just a few years.
Yeah, I never felt young, older.
Uh-huh. And he was still working for, what was he doing for Phillips?
Well, he was a truck driver. And he check gauges. Did you read the paper just recently about some big tank, and there some fellow fell up? He was gauging tanks.
That's
it. He was. He used to gauge tanks also. It was gasoline in where he worked in Vernon. Well, I guess there was no gasoline in Edison. I don't know what was in there.
Yeah,
but he used to gauge. In fact, sometimes I get in a streetcar and meet him there and. Because he worked a split shift.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, nothing we could do, but there would just be a little skeleton crew at night.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd do a lot of gauging. I never went with him. I'd stay in the... There were a couple of people there, not many. And so I didn't feel afraid. I'd get in the streetcar and go to Vernon. In a way, and then I'd sit around there while he went out and gauged and whatever he had to do, paperwork. Well, he wasn't driving truck right then. He did more inside than he wanted to be a truck driver then. And I'd wait around, you know, he'd take me home.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you date before
A long time. I think I met him around February of 1951. Because it was almost 2 years. 50. Because I married him December 6, 1952.
So you went out for about 2 years?
Yeah. We went out. We were together a while. Mm-hmm. His mother and father came down. He got a place. He moved out of that place also.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why he moved out while I was going with him is that that fellow that stayed in the next room, you know, there was no door. It was like two rooms together with a little thing like that, you know. And this fellow used to drink a lot. One time, Johnny was sleeping, and that guy was so drunk, he came home at night and beat Johnny up in his sleep. Oh. And I think his mother and father were coming down, and they took an apartment in Los Angeles somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And so did, how did your son
They got along very good. After we got married, they were not so good at times. But while we were going, my son was very tickled. He was a young teenager. And he was tickled pink that his mother wasn't on him all the time. Mm-hmm. And they got along very well. He was very happy when I decided to get married. Johnny liked Alan. You know. And after we got married, we had problems. Well, I guess you'd say serious. But Johnny became very strict. Well, he was strict, and probably rightfully so, and Alan was used to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we had little arguments. And Alan, you say, well, Johnny's too strict, you know. And they weren't as close as they could have been through the years. They sort of learned to sort of, they got along. They never chummed around. They talked about football, and they had things in common in that way. But somehow after we got married, there was tension a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. What was your relationship like with your son?
I'm very close. Mm-hmm. I'm very close. Mm-hmm. Even now, we talk about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that I was perfect. I don't butt in. Even now, they don't tell me everything. I used to be that way with my mother. I think I'm a friend of my son's.
Did you do many things together, say?
Who, Alan?
I mean, yeah,
son?
I was just saying with the, it seems like between, between work and other things, with him being in school and things, did you have much time together?
Well, I had weekends, sure. And even though I didn't date every night. I never went away for a weekend or overnight. I never stayed overnight any place. And if I had to go out at night, you know, my landlady was there. That's one thing, if I had a date at night, that she was there. If for some reason she wouldn't be there, I would never go out. But I didn't date too much, especially at night. But weekends, not every weekend. I didn't have any money. You know, I had money, but I didn't have that much. But I took him to all the rodeos in the Coliseum. We went that far from the Coliseum. Get on a streetcar, a bus. I took him all the rodeos. I took him to the circus. Uh-huh. Well, to a lot of places. I went to the movies with him. Not a lot. I love movies, but I didn't go a lot. At that time, Elsie would, not a lot. One time she took us to the Lake Elsinore, near at Hot Springs, rather, for the day. I didn't go to the school activities. I didn't belong to the PTA. I remember that I could have, and I didn't with the interest in belonging to the PTA. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe I didn't take him as much as if I would have had a car. And he didn't complain. He had a big yard. He always had friends. He stayed around the house. Big, big backyard. He wanted a hamster. He had a hamster, mm-hmm. which he lost and we never found in that house. Mm-hmm. So